okay, my cat is close enough to me that I'm worried he's gonna plan something eventually, but I don't think he's hungry right now, so maybe he won't. We'll see. They do a kid thing where they play on their adorableness, where, like...
Oh, yes.
Scott was out of town last week, and usually he's the one who gets woken up by them three times a night, but I had the privilege this time, and... One thing they do is they take turns sleeping on the bed, and that's so cute that I maybe just forgive everything they've done before and after.
Our cat is 20 years old, and she is borderline senile. Like, she's an old cat. And
yeah.
She has started at 5 in the morning every day coming into our bedroom and just screaming. And then jumping on the bed and then screaming in our faces. And then... jumping back off the bed, leaving for like 5 minutes, and then coming back and doing the exact same thing. And I think it's because she doesn't remember she's already done it.
Oh.
So you can't get mad at her. You're just like, you're an old woman, like, doddering through the house, like, screaming at your relatives.
I was going to ask if she was very loud now, because once Midna hit, like, age 8, she's like, well, now I talk all of the time.
Well, I think it's because she can't hear herself meow. Oh, because she's pretty much deaf.
Oh, interesting.
And so once we realized that her hearing was going, she started getting louder and louder and louder. And we're like, oh, she just can't hear herself speak.
Okay, do we want to talk about some bears?
Let's do that. So here is how we begin every Bears episode for one of these books. You will read the poem.
Okay. When cubs are at play, it's always the same. Accidents happen. Who's to blame?
Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week we have a book that is about as light on content as some of the Berenstain Bears bath books are light on content. But whereas those, at least, are made of soft material, you can float in water, this one's either a piece of paper that's going to dissolve in the water, or it's on your tablet and you're not going to put that in the tub. Yes, it's 1997's The Berenstain Bears and the Blame Game, and it is comfortably treading some topics we've already covered in several other books, but not as well, and not as complexly. This is a strange book, ladies and gentlemen. I was expecting something else, and I'm not really sure where this book slots into the canon, into the books you need in your life. I don't know if Harold Bloom would necessarily recommend this book sit on your bookshelf. It's a little light. But to help me figure out the point of this book, the message of this book, the overall arc of this book, I have brought someone on the show who is well acquainted with analyzing books for their arcs and points and messages. The host of the Ultimate Podcast about books that really hit you over the head with arcs and points and messages, the host of the California Diarists and writer for Nerdist, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back to the show, Christy Admiral. Hello. Welcome back, Christy.
Thank you so much. I am just really pumped to talk about Blame today.
Are you pumped to talk about Blame?
I'm this book, you've already emphasized right up top, it's slight. I got to the end and thought there must be more. Like,
right.
I was so confused. Like, nothing just happened. Where are we? What are we even doing here?
Usually when I contact my guests before a show, they're like, even if I can tell that they're faking it, they're like, woo, really pumped to, can't wait to do your show. And you literally wrote like, I have no idea what to talk about.
I just wanted you to know going in that this book is just like me, like, just imagine me shrugging with all my might. Like, I'm pretty familiar with this series. I know all the classics. I know about that time brother had a whole bunch of nightmares and got scared of his own action figures. Like, I know about when they were eating too much junk food and had to start rationing it out. I did not know about this book, and I still don't know if I know anything about this book.
We are in a weird place in Berenstain Bears history right now. This is the late 90s, and I don't know for a fact, but it's starting to look like, okay, so the illustrations are getting simpler in a lot of ways. The layouts are getting a little sketchier looking, and this is definitely late career Stan Berenstain, and I'm thinking that Mike's hand might be playing more of a part in the illustrations on these books.
The illustrations, like, now that you mention that, are very basic. We don't get much more than the kids doing something naughty and then yelling at each other, and then a single panel of, like, not even with a background of Papa having a temper tantrum, which is my favorite part, actually.
The bears all look a little off model to me.
They're a little weird.
Their heads look a little longer. They look closer to what Mike Berenstain's bears end up looking like. Also, we'll get to it, but there's a really weird picture of Mama stamping her foot in this that makes no physical sense unless her feet are like, her legs are like 12 feet long. So
you're not wrong. Yeah, no, we don't, there's not really any, like, I was going to say there's no rising action and falling action. I guess there kind of is. It's a weirdly structured story, too.
Well, speaking of rising action, climax, denouement. Speaking of the complex world of the Berenstain Bears, Christy, if you're able, could you just tell us what happens in this book?
I'm going to do my best, because it's weird.
Yeah.
Brother and sister are fighting, and Mama Bear is upset about it.
Yeah.
They blame each other a whole bunch.
Uh-huh.
They are tasked with cleaning up everything they've done and, like, not really sharing the blame, but just kind of accepting, okay, we both have to do this together. Papa sort of guides them in the chores. Then they break a window.
Uh-huh.
Then they blame each other for it. And the only fallout is you have to clean the window. The problem of them blaming each other all the time is never resolved. It seems like this will go on in perpetuity. Because the same thing happens twice. Both parents deal with it in their own, like, disciplinarian way. And then it's over. That's all.
The book honestly begins, the second page of the story is Mama angry.
Yes.
Not at anything the kids have done. She's just thinking about her kids and getting angry.
Which is not, I mean, it doesn't bode well for the rest of the story that the opener is how mad are, like, a character that doesn't really get angry that often in my memory. Like,
yes.
It's Papa who hits the roof and blows his top and is always freaking out about stuff. It's not Mama Bear. She's the mediator. And yet this time,
she's ticked about those kids.
She hates those kids. And part of it is apparently because they're doing a lot of passing blame off each other when they, like, knock over a vase, I believe, and get dirt all over the floor. Yeah.
Well, she's already angry before she hears the vase break.
Yeah.
So I'm like, and because the two things we see in this book are a vase breaks and a window breaks, are these kids just smashing everything in the house?
The window breaking was particularly wild to me because, for one thing, it's the good cartoon break of a window. That's another great illustration where it is like the kind of, like, kablam, like, what would be behind that? And they plaster the window back together, I believe. They do not replace the glass. I was so thrown by this book.
Because they don't, okay, they don't break the window. They destroy the frame. It goes right through the frame. Like, it's not through a pane like you would expect. Like, uh-oh, they broke one of the window panes. They shatter the wood.
Yeah, which is
crazy.
A few things.
They shatter the wood, and as any reader of, I don't know, Encyclopedia Brown would recognize, the glass is on the outside of the house, which means...
They didn't...
It means the ball came from the inside.
What are they doing? what have these children been doing? Like, because that would take a lot of work. That's a lot of force. And it's more than...
Someone was inside the house with a baseball bat and smashed out the window. They ran outside with the ball and the bat and just started blaming each other.
And they did. And there is a lot of literal finger pointing in this book and a lot of squabbling. And, like... I like that they have this whole explanation when they break the vase of, well, this is his fault because he tickled me. Well, it was her fault because she was poking me in the side first.
Yes.
Like, that actually, that feels like a very real sibling conflict to me. Like, let's take steps back to see who originally incited this. Well, both of us did, but let's keep going until our parents right. forget they're mad at us.
So Mama hates her kids, and then yes. she hears the vase break. She comes out into the living room. They've smashed a vase, and Mama gets so mad, she puts her foot down hard. So hard, it shakes the books off the shelves. Now, if you would be so kind, describe Mama's posture when she's stamping her foot.
I'm not liking looking at her posture. So, like, she's very... her torso is so long and her legs are so short, and it's as though she doesn't have like she basically doesn't have thighs, and she is mostly rear at this point, and it doesn't make physical sense. It's
yeah, she has her eyes are closed, her teeth are clenched, her hands are like way up on her rib cage.
It's a little bit chicken dancey, actually, now that I'm looking at
yes.
it. Even like the extent, and like, so she shakes both books off the shelf, and it looks like there's going to be another a flower pot breaking yep. in the background, which we don't get back to, sadly.
And the kids are terrified.
Yeah.
And it says she wants to know who started it right now, and it says it was like peeling back the layers of an onion. Mm-hmm. It was enough to make you cry. And I'm like, that's not what that metaphor means. That's not what, so they knocked the vase over. It still doesn't tell you why they knocked the vase over. Like,
no.
Brother was being poked because he was tickling sister, because she tickled him, because he put a rubber snake in her bed, because she put a squeaky toy on his chair and it squeaked when he sat down.
That seems like the least offensive thing that happens. Like, the fact that that was what kicks this all off is wild. The rubber snake, objectively hilarious, but much meaner than you squeaked when you sat down in your chair.
Like, as a kid, if I sat on a squeaky toy and it squeaked, that's good fun.
That's hilarious.
I do want to point out a little continuity. That is the squeaky cat toy from the Berenstain Bears Get the Gimmies.
I was just going to ask when that was in, because I knew I recognized that from
yes,
the series.
Yes, that is the cat squeaky toy they beg for from the like three card Monty salesman outside the grocery store.
I believe when you squeak it, the tongue comes out, and it's not out before
yes.
that. Yeah.
Very good.
I've read these books.
Mama, we get to see a shot of Mama's head a whirl. And first of all, she's not centered on the whirl, which bothers me because they had to leave room for the paragraph. But also, it has my favorite Berenstain Bears line, which was, her head was a whirl with butts. I don't know. I laughed when I read it.
It's really good. Also, it says butt a whole bunch of times in the cloud.
Yes, it does yeah. say butt. But because butt.
It's a weird... No, it's weird framing. She's still mad after...
Yeah, she's screaming.
Yeah, and like when Papa re-enters the scene, and he's doing just fine, and he's apparently yeah. just fixed the window that they're going to break soon.
He's just fixed the window. He doesn't know anything's going on until she screams, "Enough!"
Yeah.
Even though he's obviously looking through the window.
Yeah. I didn't even think of that. They are just right in the living room of this little
yep.
tree. Like, he would have known. And then... He comes in, he's the disciplinarian, but he's much kinder about it.
Yeah.
And there's a really good illustration of Mama just sitting in the chair looking.
Glaring.
She's so tired. She's so done. And Papa does the bulk of the cleanup of the vase.
Yes.
But then the kids kind of like come through in the clutch.
So this is kind of the point where the book, I'm like, is this just a book about how to safely clean up glass? Because...
Yeah.
That's the big lesson.
No, it's true. And the kids aren't particularly involved with it. Like, they're
right.
basically, like, just holding the dustpan so it can be swept up. And by this point, like, Mama looks positively serene. Seems like everything's getting pretty
yeah.
wound up. And then, oh no, the kids destroy. I didn't realize that, like, looking at it now, the extent to which they destroy the window is truly remarkable.
They shatter the frame. I know I've talked about it a few minutes ago, but they literally destroyed the window frame.
Yeah, like the where four corners of panels line up, like there is, it's just gone. They should not be able to fix this.
No, I mean, Papa just rebuilt it, so yeah. he's a woodworker, so he can. But it doesn't make any sense. The window frames exist so that the whole window won't shatter. That's why you don't have huge panes of glass. You have small panes of glass with a frame, so that if anything breaks, you just lose one pane of glass. This isn't supposed to physically be able to happen.
And yet, we have four panes that are partially shattered. And yes. Unsurprisingly, we don't get dialogue at the kids at this point, but they are pointing at each other, so we can safely assume they are blaming each other again.
Yes, of course. It was his fault. He's the one who wanted to play ball. It was her fault. She's the one who hit it. He's the one who threw it. Her fault, his fault, her fault, his fault. And then Mama comes out with a bucket of bucket marked trash, white gloves, and you see poor sister like having to like scoop up large shards of glass.
So we just had a lesson in how you can safely clean up glass. This seems like a recipe for disaster and everything they shouldn't be doing, which is like the kids get to pick up the glass this time.
Yep. Well, two times in one day. Now you pick up the glass. Also, they're all barefoot, which just drives me nuts.
Oh, I don't like that at all. And Papa in particular is like, he is close. He is in the risky territory there.
Yes.
And then at the, like, it ends with them having fixed the window and Papa saying something that doesn't resolve anything.
Right. What does Papa say at the very end?
So he says, of course, there are times when somebody really is to blame for something, but most of the time, it's important to remember there's usually enough blame to go around.
What?
There's not going to be any consequence for this. They're sharing the blame, but nothing bad will come of it. I don't understand what he's saying.
Right. So, like, throughout this whole book, Papa's like, don't figure out who's at fault. Just fix the problem and move on with your life. And then at the very end, he's like, sometimes someone's at fault, but usually not. And I'm like, I don't think that's how it works. I don't think that's how, like, causality works. I don't think that's how reality works.
So my experience with this series, and I mean, I'm pretty sure I'm getting this right, there's usually a lesson to be learned, right? I do not see what the lesson is here.
I guess it's mostly just like, this is a Berenstain Bear book that seems to have been written by Papa, where he's just like, stop bothering me. No one cares. Just fix it. Move on. Like, just clean up the glass. People break glass. Don't touch my window.
I mean, I can buy that. I kind of wish it was written in his voice, but I'll accept what it is, which is so little.
So we had a book. There was a book called The Berenstain Bears and the Truth. And that was about brother and sister accidentally breaking Mama's favorite vase and not owning up to it and how she had to get to the bottom of it and figure out what really happened because they were lying. And the whole book was about how life is easier if you just own up to what happened and suffer the consequences, because you're going to get caught out anyway. And don't spend all your time dwelling on trying to weasel your way out of things. Just admit you did something wrong so we can move on. This book seems to be like, all that matters is that you clean it up. Just clean it up and stop bugging your parents.
And do a really thorough job of it and be very safe for the most part. But you don't have to wear shoes. That's fine.
Right.
at least you're wearing gloves where it's more important. Yeah, there's not... This isn't really an object lesson. This
No.
is just... This is just kids yelling at each other, their parents yelling at them, and them putting a window back together in short order.
It also seems like a clearinghouse of, like, Stan or Jan, like, was like, you know what? I've done a lot of sketches recently of Mama screaming for no reason. I really need a book that can incorporate a lot of these drawings.
They couldn't do anything that was particularly dark, so they just kind of use it for almost comic relief. Like, it doesn't really heighten tension or anything. It's just, she's just doing something ridiculous. And we also did, like, there's a good illustration of Papa getting upset, too. Like,
yeah.
Let's not forget, they both get angry in this book. Mama starts angry, looks to be doing okay on our final page. Like, just kind of...
Yeah. We also get a shot, though, of Papa doing, like, where the image where Papa's like, let's deal with the broken glass for starters. You get to see Papa basically doing like Berenstain Bear finger guns. He's pointing with two fingers. And I'm like, yeah, like he means business. Like this is how like he's like, I can imagine that the first thing he really said was, Mama, sit down, brother, get the dustpan and brew. Like he's all in control.
I do. I mean, that. Mama being just done with life, maybe she's just out for the day. That's it's very good.
Yeah,
I'm not saying because I'm not saying I didn't enjoy this. I always enjoy a foray back into Bear Country. Like, don't get me wrong, this is just a particularly weird slight one.
It is a particularly weird slight. It's like last week's book was Count Their Blessings, which was weird and like was all over the place thematically, but you could tell what its point was. Like, they were trying to make a point. I'm not sure what the lesson of this book is supposed to be.
I don't think there is a lesson, and I don't know, like, is this one of the... This is not a series where it says a lesson in on the back, is it? That was
no.
Okay, because sometimes books will spell it out for you. I find that particularly in religious children's literature.
Oh, like, yeah, of course.
But usually you can take away even from the title of a baby's... Babysitter's Club.
Not Babysitter's Club.
You know what
Club.
I'm thinking of.
I do.
You know what I'm thinking of 24/7. No, you can usually take away from the title, like the gimme gimmies, that sort of thing. Like, oh, this is going to be about how you shouldn't want everything and you need to be content and that sort of thing. This, they're going to do some stuff involving blame, and maybe we'll learn about not blaming people. Oh no, we're not going to learn about that. Why would we do that?
Well, even the poem, when cubs are at play, it's always the same. Accidents happen. Who's to blame? And they don't answer the question.
You're not answering any questions with this book.
I guess the answer is, who knows? Who knows? Throw up your hands, Papa Bear. We'll never know who's to blame. Even though clearly it was Sister Bear. She hit the ball with her bat. It shows it in the opening spread. The first spread is Sister hitting the ball. With it, why are they right in front of the window?
I mean, it's probably not the worst thing they've ever done, but that is a recipe for disaster.
No kidding. Like, hey, whoever's up to bat, don't stand in front, don't aim at the window.
And she looks a little worried about how he does. Like, well, good, because something will come of this. There will be some consequence. There are consequences for their actions in this, but they don't learn how to quit behaving the way they are. So
they'll never quit. That's Brother and Sister Bear.
It's a good point.
And strangely enough, there was no cartoon based on this episode. They never adapted this one. So this one's lost to the ages.
You wouldn't be able to build more, like even a 15 minute short on this one. It's just...
Well, they were all just 11 minutes long.
Oh, I forgot that they were that short.
Yeah,
maybe they could have done, I think they could have swung 11 if they tried really hard.
Maybe they looked at it and were like, this is just Mama screaming. We can't adapt this. We can't do this.
No child wants to see that.
No, it's horrible.
VHS collection. Yeah.
She's just angry all the time. So, Christy, final thoughts on the Berenstain Bears and the blame game?
Oh, man, what a ride it's been. I really, the illustrations, indeed, a little wonky. I really like them. I think they're very odd, and I think both Papa and Mama look so frustrated and so worn out, and I really like that because we don't always get to see how upset they are with their terrible children. So I'm a fan. This is a weird one. I didn't learn anything, and I feel okay about that.
Yeah, I would say that this book is worth it for Mama starting the story being tired of having children alone. Like, that's a great place. We rarely see Mama just like, I'm done, I'm done, I'm done, I'm done. We rarely get to see Papa Bear being the voice of reason, so that's also nice.
It is. I thought that was an interesting turn.
And if you're looking for the Berenstain Bears and the Blame Game, it is still quite in print. You can find it wherever you buy books. It is also available in a digital edition. Again, if you buy it on a digital edition, you get to see these You get to see Mama's face, the two page spread of Mama being irritated at her children without the staples in the middle. It's right there for you to see. So, Christy, if our listeners want to find you, tell us a little bit about where they can find you.
Sure. So I am on Twitter at Admiral Christy. It's a fun little pun on my name that I have not gotten sick of yet, but probably will eventually. The California Diarists, my podcast about the weirdest and best Babysitter's Club spinoff, the aptly named California Diaries, is on Twitter at Cali Diarists and Facebook at California Diarists.
And I have been on two episodes of that.
You have, and when is that coming out? It should be out by the time this comes out, but if it's not, it'll be there in a few days.
Right.
And the series
watch for it.
Yeah, the series is just winding up. There are two forthcoming episodes, and then we'll be done unless we do some specials later on. So, it's been a real ride.
You finally launch into your podcast about Anna Martin's Doll People.
Oh my goodness, there's so much Anna Martin ground we have yet to cover. I could go for years. And then I also write for Nerdist, and you can just find, I will probably be on the front page sometime within the next couple of weeks, so you can just find something I've written there.
And that that is Admiral with three A's.
Yes, it is. My last name is Admiral, so yes. Look for that. Yeah.
Well, Christy, thank you so much for being on the show again.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. It was a delight.
And for everyone else, you can find me on Twitter at BStainBearcast. You can find me online at BerenstainBearcast.wordpress.com or write to me at BerenstainBearcast@gmail.com. Also, you can find me at Patreon.com/DeepInBearCountry. If you subscribe at the $5, at the $1 or up level, you can... You can listen to any of the bonus episodes I've started putting out. So become a patron there at the $5 and up level. You can ask a question of me that I'll answer on the air. And at the $10 and up level, you can request I cover a book series that is not Berenstain Bear related at all. So if you're interested in that, go over to patreon.com/deepinbearcountry. Well, Christy, I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
I hope the same for you.
I've never, ever said that on this show before. That's a weird ending for me.
I feel really good about it.
That's good. That's good. And listeners, have a good rest of your day, whatever you choose to do. And I will see everyone next week deep in Bear Country.